Good morning. Welcome to First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton, a welcoming Unitarian Universalist congregation. My name is Mike Fitzer, and I'm the Director of Music here at FPC. Our minister, Reverend Tom Raziello, is on sabbatical, and our fill-in sabbatical minister, Reverend Hank Purse, is not here this morning, so you get me, so we might connect with you. We'd like to begin our service this morning, as community is so important to us at FPC, with a time for greeting your neighbor. So please turn and say hello to someone near you, especially reaching out to people you may not know. Raise your hand if you've ever made a musical expression using your voice. So if you've ever sung a hymn, or you sing in the shower, or you sing along at the radio, or you screamed really loud or high one time, that's you. Yeah? Okay. Raise your hand if you think you cannot sing, or if you think you are bad at singing. Nice and high. Okay. Mm-hmm. Raise your hand if at any point in your life someone told you that you can't or you shouldn't sing. Okay. Okay. So today, we prove all of those people wrong. I invite you all to come with me to explore using music as a tool of empowerment, not of oppression. Today, I encourage everyone, whether you consider yourself a good singer or a bad singer, a strong musician, an amateur, or a non-musician, to try something new, something non-traditional, and see where it takes you. For the next hour, a new morning has come for our musical selves. Let's welcome the new day with open arms. Morning has come.
Morning has come.
Night is away.
Night is away.
Rise with the sun and welcome the day.
Rise with the sun and welcome the day.
Morning has come. Night is away. Rise with the sun and welcome the day. Morning has come. Night is away. Rise with the sun and welcome the day. Morning has come. Morning has come.
Rise with the sun
and rise with the sun and welcome the day. I saw so many hands of people who said they can't sing, and you just did. Two-part canon. Very difficult. Nice job. Yes, yes, give yourselves a round of applause. So we have one song down. We're going to start our service this morning by lighting our chalice, and I'd invite Jolene to come forward and light the chalice for us, and I would like everyone to read along with the chalice lighting words that are printed in your order of service. The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any. Please join us now, rising as you are able, to sing hymn number 360, Here We Have Gathered. And then please remain standing for our covenant and affirmation.
May all who seek here find us. kindly word. May all who speak here feel they have been heard. Sing now together this, our heart's own song. Here we have gathered, called to celebrate days of our lifetime, matters small and great. We of all ages, women, children, men, infants and sages, sharing what we can, sing now together this battles, sorrows, and regret. But in the shadows, let us not forget, we who now gather know each other's pain. Kindness can heal us, as we give, we gain. Sing now in friendship this our heart's own song.
Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another.
From all that dwell below the skies, let words of love and peace arise. Let joyful songs of praise be sung through every land by every tongue.
Please be seated. So in my opening comments this morning, I asked you to come with me on a bit of an unorthodox journey, and I hope that we can pledge to each other to do that again, even though no one verbally pledged to do that yet this morning. What we're about to do is based on an idea in teaching music or performing music called empowering song, which I'm going to speak about a bit later in the service. But it is designed to bring a new way of thinking about music to people, and also really does not like the idea that people think that they can't sing. Most of us have sung something in our lives, and so the idea that we can't sing is not actually true. And so we're going to talk a bit this morning about how, you know, we internalize all of that and what makes it a part of our lives. But I encourage you all to try this new thing, which is going to be new to you whether you have sung a lot in your life or not, never at all before that, and to try it in whatever way is most comfortable for you. So we're going to be, there's going to be an option to move around a bit to explore the space, and you are welcome and encouraged to walk all around the church anywhere you'd like to be. If you'd prefer to stay in your area, that's fine too. You can explore the space with your arms, with your eyes, with your head, whatever you like. Okay? So this is choose your own adventure based on the prompts that I give. Sound all right? Okay, so let's stand, please. And I'll be giving you some prompts. So, you know, at various points you'll be making noise, but feel free to listen while you do that so we can sort of transition together. So what we'd like to do is just explore for a minute without moving the space around you. So your body might get big or small. Your arms can move around without hitting the person in front of you or behind you. So be aware of your surroundings. You can take little, small steps. That's great. And as you're comfortable with that, if you choose, you can move around the church. You can come wherever you like. So you can step out of your pews, be in this area. Somebody can come hang out with me. That's fine. Just walk around. And as you walk, think about many things that are happening for you that we don't normally think about. So how are you breathing? Is it heavy breathing? Is it slow breathing? How are you stepping? Can you feel all of your foot hitting the ground? You can come forward out of the aisles to create a little more space if you like. Look at all this space. Explore things around you that maybe you didn't notice before. As you're walking, acknowledge the people you see. You can do that with a look, a smile, a high five, a word, whatever you like. There we go. Perfect. Now I encourage you to keep walking, keep moving your arms, do whatever you like, and make a sound, some kind of musical sound with your voice, whatever it is. Go ahead and do that now. And keep going. Try some different sounds. You can try the same sound and sort of continuously repeat it. This is great. Keep making a musical sound. Everyone can do this. Excellent. Keep going with some kind of musical sound. And then think about finding a comfortable place where you can stop your walking. It can be back toward your pew. It can be wherever you are right now. You do not have to be at your normal seat. Just come to a resting place where you have a little bit of space around you and you feel comfortable. You can sit if you like. You can sit on the floor. You can kneel. You can lie down on the floor. You can stay standing up, whatever you like. Okay, come to a comfortable place and stop moving around. Lovely. And then everybody please close your eyes. And focus on your breathing. Just notice how your breathing is. Is it deep? Is it shallow? Are you tired after walking around? Are you energized? Don't try to change anything. We're just going to notice how our breathing is. Good. I'm going to sing some patterns, and I'd like you to just sing them back to me, okay? Ooh. Good, and keeping your eyes closed. Ooh. Ooh. If anyone in the room would like to share their own pattern, you're encouraged to do so now. We'll all sing it back to you. And anyone, if we happen to have two patterns go at the same time, we'll just work it out. So don't be nervous about that. Just feel free to share something that you'd like. Go ahead. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Very good. Softly flutter your eyes open and make your way back to your seat, slowly and calmly, and carefully. So while everyone's returning to their seat, just to explain briefly what we just did or to give a reminder, we started by exploring our space, and then we moved to some pretty different areas of the church. We acknowledged each other with a smile, a nod, a wink, a high five, a word, something like that. Then we found a place where we were standing or sitting, and we did an exercise where anybody who wanted to led all of us in a pattern, and we repeated that pattern. Now, I saw a majority of hands say that they couldn't sing when we started this service, right? But what you just did was two things. One, anybody who shared a pattern improvised. You made up a pattern on your own. I didn't tell you what to do. You sang it, and you improvised well because, second thing, we all repeated correctly. I use my air quotes because it's not really important that it was correct, but you felt pretty good about that, right? We were singing the right things back at each other. Mm-hmm. So you gave a pattern that was interpreted by everybody here as a song, and everybody here sang it back to you as a song. So anybody who either made a pattern or repeated a pattern can sing. Yes? Okay, good. So we often think about music as something that requires a lot of specialized training to do. As a child, most of us are told that we are either good at music or bad at it. I'm seeing some nods. Yes, these judgments can come from music teachers, family, friends, or acquaintances, or just about anybody. Whatever the source of these edicts, when you have less than 10 years of life experience under your belt, you're likely to take it seriously one way or another, and it's also likely to not be very important or accurate to what the rest of your life means. Earlier in the service, I asked how many people were told that they were bad at music, and I saw a number of hands. Who's still here from people who said they're bad at music? Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. Or they were told that they can't sing, right? Good. I was very fortunate to have had music in my life since I was born, and my parents valued teaching me songs from a young age. I was deemed good at music essentially as soon as I tried it in elementary school. But I had many friends who either declared themselves bad at music or who had someone else tell them that they were bad at music or that they shouldn't sing. But I wonder, do we have the same rate of judgment about other things that we're expected to learn in school? Do adults tend to say that a second grader is bad at math, so they just shouldn't do it? Or does anyone remember their friends making fun of them for not memorizing the periodic table and telling them that it was painful to watch them try to learn, so they just shouldn't try at all? In these ways, music often divides us more than we realize it does. Even though we think of the arts as having great potential for bringing people together across difference, and we think of music as a universal language, more often than not, participation in music in our schools, churches, and communities is limited to people who are in the know or trained in proper techniques. Leaders and conductors act as gurus, which in the music business we call sage on the stage. And tell everyone around them that what they're doing is wrong and how to make it better. Those who don't have the skills, training, or experience to quickly adapt to whatever is asked of them are either directly asked not to participate or discouraged generally from joining in. This places an undue emphasis on technique as the goal rather than the method by which we achieve an emotionally expressive performance. Professional musicians can spend their whole lives perfecting performance technique, but in the process can sometimes lose connection to the humanity that gave rise to our greatest music in the first place, and is probably the largest reason why those professional musicians got involved in doing music. Through these systems, where trained musicians share musical knowledge and experience with only slightly less trained musicians in the name of musical excellence, many people are left out. Where the arts should allow for individuals to find their own voice and express something deeply personal, singing can quickly lead to the exact opposite result, with those who aren't deemed to have a skill jettisoned to the sidelines. How many of you who were told that you couldn't sing then, you know, didn't participate in music activities as you got older? You ready? Yeah, a couple people? Okay, good. Even those with extensive experience are sometimes told that they should limit their personal self-expression for the betterment of a group sound in a group activity. more not. Mm-hmm. Three of my colleagues from Boston University have set out to change this thinking. Andre de Quadros, Jamie Hillman, and Emily Howe have begun to develop an approach to teaching and participating in music called empowering song. The concept is not too complicated, that music should be a right and not a privilege, and that people can use music as a vehicle for personal empowerment in structures that are designed to systematically take that personal empowerment away. What you experienced in our empowerment exercise earlier this morning was an example of the way this empowering song system works. The concept is that by asking everyone in the group to participate in something with which no one is familiar, the playing field is leveled. Whether you are an experienced musician, a novice, or someone who considers themselves to be tone deaf, you were welcomed to participate. I never said anything we did was wrong or incorrect or problematic, and I never singled anyone out and said to not do what you were doing. You were all the leaders of our repetition singing. You established the patterns, you came up with what we were going to do, and that's what we did. And if you kept your eyes closed, you didn't know whether the person singing was a member of the choir, a professional musician, an exuberant hymn singer who sits next to you every week, a quiet member of the congregation, or someone who has never sung before within the walls of these church. You didn't know if the person was old or young. We didn't always know if the voice was male or female. Those who shared a simple melody had the empowering experience of having dozens of people recognize what you shared as music, interpreting it in their own brains as music, and singing it back as music, affirming the offering that you put forward. So we all got to sing, and we all got to listen, and that's the essence of what making music is. Andre has used this approach to bring music into the lives of communities that are a part of what he has named the forgotten world. These groups exist in places where access to music, and by extension, often a connection to their humanity, is being denied. Perhaps it is obvious that this forgotten world includes traditionally oppressed populations, such as in prisons, in war-torn countries, and in poverty-stricken communities. But the forgotten world is even broader than that. It includes any educational system that discourages participation on the basis of natural talent, ability, or training. Andre, Jamie, and Emily have used this approach to great success in starting a series of music courses in Massachusetts prisons. Students in the prison sign up to take classes as part of an educational curriculum, but the goal of these courses is not to teach pedagogical skills in music theory to the people who attend once a week. I have a quote for you from Jamie Hillman, who wrote this in a 2013 article about working in a nearby men's prison facility. He said, quote, "It is our goal for these men to engage with music, with one another, and with us on a much deeper level. It is our goal to create an environment in which they feel free to take risks, to express themselves, and to search for personal meaning and identity. With these goals in mind, we designed the classes to involve a holistic blend of song, bodywork, improvisation, composition, writing, discussion, and reflection." You'll notice nowhere in that quote did Jamie say, "and to get them to put on a really great performance, or to win a choral award, or to sing the right notes, or to teach people how to read music." It has nothing to do with it. So music, then, is the vehicle for allowing the men in the medium security prison, some of whom are serving short sentences, others of whom are there for life, to connect with their humanity and their personal power. Jamie wrote that while the idea that all students needed to sing as part of the class was initially intimidating for the men, as it may have been for you this morning, after two semesters of teaching the class, he and Andre had documented evidence through student journal entries and sharing in class that showed that the course influenced the men's lives profoundly. Jamie wrote, quote, "We were deeply moved when one of our students shared that the class allowed him to experience a whole range of emotions, joy, sadness, love, pain, surprise, fear, hope, etc." He went on to say that the only emotion he felt prior to enrolling in the class was anger. This approach is not only effective in the prison environment. For example, Andre has developed a group called Common Ground Voices that rehearses in Sweden and is made up of equal numbers of Israeli, Palestinian, and Swedish singers, all performing together. The group shared and improvised on songs from each of their traditions and used the music to both open complicated discussions about their personal histories as well as recognize their common humanity. Again, the goal was not a sparkling performance of Israeli folk music, although they got there, but rather a process that would bring people together through music who might have difficulty meeting otherwise. This kind of connection to a deeply emotional part of their existence not only makes for an insightful rehearsal process, but also brings an emotional character to those performances, which in turn makes those performances really special. Emotional connection in performance requires a great deal of leaving the idea of perfection behind. And Sung-hee and I can tell you that when you perform, when we're in church every week, if you try to be perfect in everything that you do, it doesn't tend to work out so well for you. You get frustrated and don't do as well as you otherwise might. I think that's a good metaphor for life also, by the way, just as an aside. So improvisation plays a large role in this idea of empowering song. Sung-hee provided an improvised offertory for us today, which was entirely made up and not practiced in advance, and by the way, completely different from the 9 o'clock service this morning. So if not for the fact that it said improvisation in the order of service, and if you knew what that word meant, I wonder how many of you would have noticed that it wasn't something that she'd rehearsed or read from a piece of paper. You all improvised as well when we sang the exercise earlier this morning. We sometimes have a sense that these expressions are somehow musically less good than something that has been worked out or perfected in advance. As our FBC jazz musicians will tell you, when you improvise, there's no time to think about what your next move is going to be. What comes out is an expression of an inner thought, whatever that thought is, and connecting to that inner thought without filter is something that this empowering song approach encourages. Music can be an incredible vehicle for our own personal power. But alone, it is not inherently good or bad. We sometimes think about arts as being a force for good in the world, but that's not inherently the case. Sometimes music can be used, or other art can be used, in negative ways. Just this past year, we've seen protest songs that lift up human rights, and we've also seen songs that are catchy tunes that are used to perpetuate propaganda. There are countless examples throughout history where music has been used for good and for oppressive purposes. In South Africa, where direct protest against the apartheid government was not allowed, protesters marched against oppressors by singing religious songs, not creating violence. One of those songs is called Akanamankla, which we'll do at church someday, and it translates to Satan has no power. And the people in South Africa were not legally allowed to protest against the government. So they couldn't sing anything about or speak anything about government forces, but they were very much allowed to sing religious songs. So they marched in the streets singing songs about Satan has no power as a metaphor for the government, which was okay. But they marched in the streets with strong marching and strong hand motions that went with the song and marched against military forces and police forces that had guns, using only their song and only their humanity together. So these issues of who has power and how we empower ourselves are more mainstream today in America than they have ever been before in my lifetime. As we consider our own community and the many other communities in the forgotten world, I hope we can take the lead from those South African protesters and open ourselves not to music as some unattainable, specialized, mythical power that some people have and some people don't have, but instead to using music as a vehicle for expressing our own personal power and allowing others to express their own personal power, which is something that our faith tells us can never be taken away. Let's strive to use music to empower each other wherever we see that power diminished throughout our world. And with that in mind, I'd like to do one final exercise with all of you, which we've called a unity exercise in your order of service. So if you'll indulge me, I'm hoping we can all stand one more time as you are able and comfortable. And if you're comfortable, I'd encourage you to try to grab a hand of someone near you so that we can connect across the church. Don't stress out about this, but if you can reach with somebody, that's great. If you'd prefer not to do that, that's fine as well. Good. Wonderful. Okay, and we're just going to start swaying a little bit. Just shifting your weight. Don't step yet, but just make a little sort of swaying. And we're going to see if we can get together on one kind of sway pattern. Okay, so try to sort of look around, be aware of your environment, and be shifting your weight in a way that is seeming to go with each other. Good. Now see if you can start stepping just a little bit. Good. Excellent. Good. Now maybe speed up your steps just a little, and we're going to try to find a common pace, a common tempo here. You don't have to watch me. Look at each other. I'm just participating with you. Good. Good. See if we can get going in the same direction. How about that? Now maybe you can watch me. I'll mirror you. Okay? Perfect. And do step just a little bit, okay? So you don't have to make a big sound with your foot, but actually be purposeful about stepping. We're increasing our power here, right? So you're in control. That's it. Very good. Okay, we've got a little bit of a composite rhythm going on here, which is good. Okay, so now I'd like to encourage anybody who would like to share a song with us that sort of goes with this beat that we're stepping. It can be any song you like. It's just something you know, something you like, from any walk of life. If you have a song, just start singing it now and we'll join in with you. Yo, excellent. Ho, ee, ho. Yo, ho. Good. While I run this race, guide my feet. While I run this race, guide my feet. While I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. Yes, a spiritual from our UU hymnal. Very good. The Bama with a banjo on my knee. And I'm gone to Louisiana for my true love for to see. It rained all night the day I left. The weather, it was dry. And the sun so hot, I froze to death. Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, now don't you cry for me. For I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. Excellent. What else? The railroad all the livelong day. I've been working on the railroad just to pass the time away. Can't you hear the whistle blowing? Rise up so early in the morn. Can't you hear the captain shouting? Dinah, blow your horn. Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow your horn? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow? Dinah, won't you blow your horn? Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. Someone's in the kitchen, I know. Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah, strumming on the old banjo. It's fee-fi, fiddly-i-o. Fee-fi, fiddly-i-o. Fee-fi, fiddly-i-o. Strumming on the old banjo. Yeah, lots of words. That's good. Keep it going. What else? Good. Anything else? How about one more song? Lean on Me? We can do that. Ready? Some times in my life, we all have pain. We step a little faster, yeah? We all have sorrow, but if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for
It won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
Good. Thank you. We're going to come to a rest now. Yes. Wonderful. And you can have a seat. So, what did we just do? We all sang together. We all sang songs. Some of us knew all the songs. Some of us knew none of the songs. Some of us knew some of the songs. You had a couple of repeats from the 9 o'clock service, which is very interesting to me. You had a couple of songs that we didn't do at 9 o'clock. But everyone was participating in some way, whether that was you singing along with the song, whether you were stepping in rhythm with us, whether you were holding hands and smiling, whatever it was that you were doing was participating in the music making that happened this morning. And so I hope that after you leave here today, no one says, I can't sing anymore. Because you all just sang for about an hour. Yeah? Now, you may have different ideas about how you want to apply this idea of you being able to sing, right? Maybe it means that you want to come to choir on Tuesday, which you're all invited to do. Maybe it means that you want to sing, jump in loudly on the protest song at the next protest you go to. Maybe it means that you want to sing with your family. Maybe it means you're going to sing even louder in the shower. But I hope that what you were able to do was to feel something of a sense of empowerment from what we had today. The first thing, if you were able to share a song or some kind of pattern with us, the idea that everybody sang it back to you, you're in control, you're in charge. And maybe if you ever thought, oh, I can't really sing, everyone proved you wrong. Maybe you were brave enough to offer up a song in that thing that we just did, and everybody sang it. And not only did everybody sing it, but we made it through figuring out what the words were and you know, 800 verses of I've Been Working on the Railroad. So... And we all did that together as a group, and nobody said, stop, 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 I don't know the words. No, that was a bad choice. No, it was a great choice, and we all sang together. So that's the idea here. The things that scare us about participating in music, we can turn around and use as a method of empowering us in our own personal lives and anything we do. So whether it's with music or with something else, I hope that you can take that away from the service today. And I encourage us now to stand as we're able and sing hymn number 1030, which is Siya Hamba. And in this song, we start with a Zulu text. And I'll tell you right now, does anybody here speak Zulu? Okay, it does not matter if you sing the words correctly. Okay, it matters that we sing with spirit. And then there's English translation where it says, we are marching in the light of God. And then we can add other words besides marching. So I'll call out a couple of words, and you'll sing them along with me, okay? Here we go. You can step, you can clap, whatever you like, or you can stand there. Siya hambe kukan yen kwenkos. 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 Siya hamba. Siya hambe kukan yen kwenkos. Siya hamba. Siya hambe kukan yen kwenkos. We are marching in the light of God. 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 We are marching. Ooh, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching. Ooh, we are marching in the light of God. We are singing. We are singing in the light of God. 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 We are singing. Ooh,
are singing in the light of God. We are singing. Ooh, we are singing in the light of God.
We are clapping.
We are clapping in the light of God. 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 We are clapping. Ooh, we are clapping in the light of God. We are clapping. Ooh, we are clapping in the light of God.
Fantastic. Thank you. Have a seat, please. So you all got to see an improvisatory sign that Sung-hee and I use, which means stop. We improvise a lot more of the service than anybody knows, so it's great. Our benediction today is three quotes from a few different people that are used in our empowering song work. First is from Thich Nhat Hanh. It says, if the helper is unhappy, he or she cannot help many people. Second is from Professor Andre de Quadros. He says, we should think of music by thinking of this question. What kind of world do you want to live in? And then, how does music fit into that world? And the final one from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out. But when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is light from within.
Peace be with you till we meet again. As life lays its task before you, keep love's balance.